Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
This message is not just for the ladies, it's also for me, because I also need that. But it's a tremendous privilege for me to speak into the lives of the women of The Crossing. I've just been asking God what his heart is for the ladies of The Crossing. And I just feel like God wants to breathe courage into the women of The Crossing. I think he wants us to be aware of his hand and his wisdom in the everyday events of our lives as women. Why? Because he's created us with a plan and a purpose. And I just love the words that the men brought this morning, because it just so confirmed that that purpose and that calling and that Hilton spoke about is God has a clear purpose and calling for women. The identity and the freedom. It's just amazing that God confirmed that. So what is the plan for women? It's the same for everyone. And for me, I think it's such a simple thing. It's to be a Christian. It's to be like Christ. What other purpose do you need? To truly become Christ-like is a purpose worth living for. And a purpose, it's like there's nothing better to live for. We want to make Jesus known to the world. And as women, it's also our job to do that. In today's world, women are told that they can be anything, do anything, be better at men at some things. And today I'm not here to tell you that you can't do those things. But I do want to encourage you in that identity that John spoke about, is don't let those things label you and identify you. Rather be the woman that God wants you to be. So to live a life as a Christian woman, surrendered to God, takes courage. And I've got 7 points to help us women walk in the courage that we need. So number one is his word and his voice. To live this life of courage, you will need faith. Faith, the scripture tells us that faith comes by hearing the word of God. So the only way to experience God's faithfulness is to get into his presence and letting him talk to you and show you that faithfulness. You have to spend time with God to learn to hear his voice. For me personally, I long for those days where I could make a hot cup of coffee and I used to sit and pray and journal and just read like 3, 4, 5 chapters. But it's not like that for me now. So I also don't want us to use our seasons as an excuse not to spend time with God. That's also not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that in different seasons, it definitely is harder. It makes harder for us to hear God's voice. So the other morning, I was feeling really down and for no reason. And all I did was pray and ask God to bring encouragement to my heart. And I just remembered a verse in Psalm that says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." It was such a simple thing, and I just told myself, hope in God and praise him. And instantly I felt better. So for me, I didn't need an hour in God's presence. I could just cling to that one scripture, and for the whole day, that whole week, it just carried me through everything. So learn to hear his voice and to recognize when it's his voice. Number two is his spirit. Wait and expect for the spirit to lead your life. So even when they told the disciples to wait for the spirit's power, you can wait for the spirit. And Psalm 27 verse 14, it says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." So Jesus has given us a beautiful gift, and he's called the Holy Spirit. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. It is a beautiful that we get to have an intimate relationship with someone like him. And It says about the Holy Spirit that he's a helper, he's a comforter, he's an intercessor, he's a counselor, and he's a strengthener. Now, to me, I also feel like that's pretty much the role of a woman. And God has given us the grace and the makeup to be those kinds of things. As women, he has given us the grace, and he's made you up to be someone that can be a helper, a comforter, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener. So for us to be that, what do we need? We need the Spirit to fill us and to control us. And when he does that, we can be all those things that the Holy Spirit is to us. Number three, covenantal friendships. I believe that as women, we need to have a culture of honor. As women, we need to understand the value of people in our lives. And we also need to celebrate each other. You can see when someone changed her hair style. Maybe someone's lost weight. Whatever it is, be the first to compliment each other. I've often seen women just not being able to compliment each other, encourage each other. By us honoring each other will never take away from us. Let's please, as women of the crossing, I ask you, let us honor each other and let us be the first to encourage each other. We are not to bring each other down. In this community, we are called to be the first to raise up another woman's arms and to celebrate her. So there's an awesome scripture in 2 Titus. As for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and to train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. So if you think about an animal that is just courageous and mighty, there's a beautiful picture in the way lioness hunts. Okay, so, and I feel like that is the spirit that God wants to put into the woman today. One, they hunt together. If they decide to do just a solo hunt or whatever you call it, there's less chance of them catching something. Number two, they hunt for the entire pride, meaning it's not just about themselves, it's for everyone. Number three, they each have a position. They each have a role. They coordinate their movements to surround their prey. And there's always one that's positioned to block the prey. When each of those lionesses fulfill their specialized role, they usually get the prey. So as women, I really just want to emphasize again, it's really on my heart. We need to honor each other. We need to realize that as a community in the crossing, we are on mission together. And pursuing the mission of God together will only ensure success. But we have to play in your position, in your role. Number four is letting go. Philippians 3:13. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Get out of your prisons. Allow God to set you free. If you need healing in every part, in any part of your life, get it and move on. Once again, we're in a community. You can speak to people. You can really allow for God to do something in you. Your identity is not in your past. It's not in your mistakes. It's not in whatever you've done. So I really feel like God wants to bring that freedom to ladies. And in Psalm 119, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And generally, we only get enough light to see the next step. And I think God does that on purpose because he wants us to trust him every step of the way. So as you walk into this freedom, just trust God to take your hand and to let go of the things that might be holding you back from living a courageous life. Number five, submission. Guys or ladies, submission is beautiful. It is freeing. And if you do number one and two, which is spend time with God, listen to his voice, and be filled with his spirit, you are already halfway to being a submitted woman. So number one, as women, we have to also have a submission to our leaders. And Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls and those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Have you got some decisions to make? Do you need understanding in certain situations? Please speak to one of your leaders. We get wise counsel from them, and when we get wise counsel, we make better decisions. So I can almost promise you that every time someone has come to me for counsel or advice, I never give them the answer. All I always do is just commit to praying for them, and I almost always ask, what is Jesus telling you to do? So getting counsel from leaders is not getting permission. It's not them telling you what to do. It's purely getting counsel for you to make the best decisions for. And then my favorite, submission to husbands. So us women have something called estrogen. It's a specific hormone that stimulates the brain, and it creates a desire for us women to bond, to communicate, and to nurture. Okay, this is our makeup. That is how God created us. So even from a young age, you can see the difference in kids. So I've got four children, and I've got the privilege to work from home, so I am able to be the primary caregiver for them. And I've pretty much spent 90% of my life with the little ones. If I fetch Ethan from school, he's six, I always ask him, "How was your day?" And I always get, "It was nice." And that's the end. And sometimes he says good, but it's generally nice. Then as soon as we get home, for the rest of the day, he's collecting stuff and he's building stuff. That's all he does. I only get called if it involves hacksaws, scissors, knives, matches that I never know where he finds. I get called to help. Okay, Carter is 2.5, and all I pretty much do is follow him around as he kicks balls. And that's what I do. I follow and I watch, and he kicks balls. And then the only time I get called is if he needs to do some batting practice and he needs a bowler. I get called in, "Mom, come throw." Then I've got Evan. He's 8 months old. And he started crawling and standing, and he's already trying to walk. So pretty much all I do there is just following him around to make sure he doesn't hurt himself. Now, while all this is happening around me, there's this constantly high-pitched voice. "Mom, do you know what Olivia did today, Mom? Mom, Teacher Paula told me this. Mom, do you know why Claire wasn't at school today? Mom, do you know what the mommy dog did to the baby dog? Do you like my dress, Mom? Can I wear my makeup now, Mom?" Constantly, constantly in my ears. Now, that's Bethany. She's 5 years old. And most days after school, she changes into a skirt. She starts twirling and talking. So why do I mention this? It's because we are made different. Boys are different. Girls are different. How will that help us to understand how to submit to our husbands? Boys want to know that they're strong and they have what it takes. Little girls want to know that they are heard, they loved, and that they're considered beautiful. So how does that work in submission? Wives, submit to your husband. Let your husband know he's strong and he has what it takes. It's As simple as that. Women, we can have such a powerful influence over our husbands. We can be master manipulators if we are not led by the Spirit. We want to control men. It's just something that seems to happen when you're not led by the Spirit. But our job is not to manipulate or control our men, but to encourage them in the direction of love and commitment. When I feel loved, heard, and cared for, it's very easy for me to submit to my husband. So some practical ways of how you submit to your husband is respect them when they make the calls and decisions that you don't necessarily agree with. Don't nag. Don't belittle your husbands, especially in front of others. And show admiration and appreciation for their hard work and for providing for your family. Okay, number 6, obedience. Romans 6:17. Thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. We get to make many choices. Where we live, who we marry, what we wear, just we get to make choices every day. But there's some things that will be God's choice for you, and that's what obedience really is. It's submitting to God's choice for you. And I've mentioned before that for us to go, when we went into full-time ministry, I had a lot of fear and of just wondering if we'll ever have enough, if God was going to look after us. And it was then when he really showed me the meaning of obedience, that this was not me choosing, but that I was being obedient to his call. And there's also a beautiful scripture that says obedience is better than sacrifice. And then number 7, my last point, giving. It will always cost you to live a life, a courageous life. It'll cost you your money, it will cost you your time, it will cost you your energy to be who God has called you to be. In Genesis 3:20, Adam calls his wife Eve, the mother of all living. The name Eve also in Hebrew sounds the same as the word for life giver. God's created design for woman is to bring life. So bringing life is not just about giving birth. And yes, it is that, because God's created us to give birth, to feed our babies, etc. But it's about caring for people and bringing life to them. I feel that God really wants us women once again to speak life to each other and life into people's situations. And in this community, if you're single, a mom, a wife, you have a responsibility because God's designed you to bring life in the community where God has planted you. Care for your family and also care for the family of God. So women generally have a gift of feeding people, some better than others. That's not my best. So I don't enjoy cooking at all. So if you've had a meal at my house, you must know I really love you, that I've actually made you something. So it's not my favorite thing to do. I would much rather bake you biscuits or a cake or muffin and feed you that way. But it's just also something that God has put in us. So just once again, even the meals that you guys are dropping off with people, those practical things of where you're giving sacrificially, it's the heart of God. So just continue to do that. God has designed us to be fruitful. Maybe you've had to face grief, rejection, poverty, unemployment, pain, and barrenness. These things build character and compassion, something you can't get without facing the difficult things. They also say you can't give what you don't have. So you need to stay in the vine so that you can continue to bear fruit. So John 15 says, I'm the vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me and I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. It really is simple enough, guys, that if we just remain in Jesus, in his word, he will give us what we need to give to others. And just three things that make it difficult for you to give. Number one is selfishness. Selfishness has no place in if you are wanting to be a woman of courage. So deal with that thing quickly if it is something that you battle with. It can hinder a lot in your life. Number two is idleness. Don't be a busybody, but also don't be idle. And number three is fear. Some fear that if we give, we won't have enough for ourselves. So for that reason, they hang on to things. Also, be open-handed, give what you can, and allow God to keep giving you what you need to give to others.